Hey, Joelle.
Yeah, Mark?
See any good movies lately?
That's it. You can roll the intro.
Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movie.
Flawless. Flawless. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network. We're here to talk about The Last Jedi. We got a bit of a motley crew here, something that you would expect to see at a cantina. I'm one of your hosts, the internet's Mark Budonica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Budonica. And who are all of you wonderful people that I've only met for the first time?
What? This is our introduction. Hey, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Hello, it's Neil Plumley. You can find me at places where people are found at the Neil Plumley. That's T-H-E-N-E-I-L-P-L-U-M-L-E-Y.
Jeez. And I'm Alexis Torres. You guys can find me all over the internet at A-Torres-890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S-890.
So, a lot of people had some questions.
Yes.
What does this mean? There's a particular show title in the title. And all around us. I would like to say we are happy to have this forum to talk about The Last Jedi. But if you want to know the state of that particular show, go and watch the final episode from a couple months ago where we talk about it in length. We don't have that kind of time. We just have to talk about The Last Jedi. Initial thoughts. I'm going to start with Alexis.
Hey, pretty lady.
Why do you got to do that?
So I saw you were busy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Stay focused.
I was just trying to talk to the chat.
How dare you?
So I'm going to be a little, a halfway devil's advocate.
Be however you want to be.
I saw this twice. So when I first saw it, I actually didn't really care for the movie at that time. I was like, nah. I mean, there were some parts that took my breath away. And there were other times where I was bawling, mostly just because Asian people. But at the same time, there was just parts where I was just kind of like, I didn't know what was happening. Saw it a second time and completely changed my opinion. There were still some parts that kind of was just like, I don't know why it's here, but it's also hard to see Star Wars films with this guy, because then he's very easy to convince me. If you guys don't know, this is my husband. So it was a bit of tug and pull for me, but at the very end, it still gave me the Star Wars feels as it always does, and I still love this movie, even though everybody else didn't for some reason.
We're going to get to that. Yeah. Hey, Neil.
This is a very polarizing film, a lot of opinions being thrown around.
How polarizing it is!
But I will say my opinion is that I loved it. I felt like it was a return to what a movie is that has to do with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Up until this point, ever since, I want to say after Return of the Jedi, every movie since then has been a Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. It has never been a movie about Star Wars. Mm-hmm. This has been a movie about Star Wars. There's been consequences, things get written off, just a whole bunch of things happen, and it's basically just like, F you, fanboys. And to forget about what you think about what you want.
Hold on.
Forget about...
I'm trying to go, I agree with everything.
forget about how you think a Star Wars movie is supposed to go. Forget about who... How the power structure is supposed to exchange hands. Forget about everything that you've seen in a Star Wars movie. Because even though we got set up in a very similar fashion with The Force Awakens from how Star Wars movies have been going, this is a total departure, and I loved it.
If you notice, he's getting taller, it's because the soapbox keeps getting bigger.
Hey, just that's my shtick.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Joelle.
Hey.
So we saw this movie on Monday.
Sure did.
We had to live with it for a week.
It was hard to be around people.
It was very hard to be around people. Like, I got home, and my wife and I were just very quiet. I was asking her about her day, and as she was going to bed, she turned off the light, and then turned the light back on, and came out and said, all right, I have one question. But, so, from Monday to seeing it again this past weekend, what did you think?
Okay, I get emotional at everything, so this is not rare, but my whole essence was kind of stolen by this movie. I think in a lot of the same ways that the Clone Wars animated series legitimized terrible aspects of the series before, I think The Last Jedi does that for so many things, from The Force Awakens to even, like, way long ago, bringing back props that haven't been seen for decades to just be like, there it is. Take these dice. Deal with the emotional consequences of them. to, as Neil was saying, being a cinematic experience, we have, I'm not going to put it in my even top three lightsaber battles, I don't think, but as far as unique visual components, to destroying the saber, the one thing that tells through the entire series, so that there's no freaking way we know where we're going with the next. We have no idea what happens with the next movie. We just don't know what's going. It's all new. Of course, the representation is beautiful.
Thank you.
But almost more than that, I'm such a shipper, guys, and wow!
So you have a towel or something you can put
this
on
is
her?
What I've been waiting for to talk to Joelle about.
We don't have enough time to talk about shipping. We need a second hour.
And we could fill it. Because Ryan Johnson is a fan, he understands like how our like the fan fiction for the next like 2 years until the next movie. It's such a gift. I really appreciate it. So yeah. This movie gets high marks for me.
Hi, Marks.
Oh, hi, Marks.
Those were ratings for The Disaster Artist, but we're not talking about that today. I agree. I was on the edge of my seat. There were a couple of moments sitting in the theater next to Michael where I was trying to enjoy the silence, and then all of a sudden it would be like a, oh, damn.
People actually acted the hell out of that movie.
But it made it that much more of an excellent experience. Because Rogue One, we were silent next to each other. We were just like, huh. But this one, right. The fact that there was so many visceral emotions from both crowds, I will say, of course, you know, filling a crowd full of Star Wars fans as well as Star Wars reporters and members of the media that are Star Wars obsessed, arguably one of the best experiences. And then I've heard that various theater experiences may vary depending on when and where you go. Mm-hmm. But I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. And one of the things that I don't get is that it gave fans what they wanted on a silver platter, and now people are like, ugh, what?
Yeah, I don't get it.
No, I totally get that. I totally get it. Because when you're basically they were asking for something new. In the same way that Rogue One delivered for a lot of people, like, new spatial things. It gave us an entirely new crew, something that wasn't Sky. Like, it worked out because your heart wasn't invested. But people's hearts are invested in these characters and these stories. And the turns they made might not have been the turns they thought they were going to make. Mm-hmm. Right. I think this film does a really good job of, if you don't like women, you don't like this movie.
And yes!
I feel like about 25% of the critique that I'm reading has to do with the amount of women and how important their roles were in this film, and that's why I liked it. So
that's actually a great time to pivot into the first point that I wrote up there on that board. Characters. I absolutely love Rose.
Yeah.
She's unabashedly. Ours. She's our, like, and I mean, like, the fans. She belongs to us.
Her introduction, they made it hit so hard at somebody who's suffering from loss that we got to witness this, and all of the dialogue fits like a perfect puzzle. For some people, puzzles are difficult, and I'm not calling you stupid, but sometimes it's just a thing where certain pieces look like they would fit and they don't for you, but they're there. Some people take longer to make puzzles and finish puzzles than others. You're going to get there, and we're going to be waiting for you on the other side. But getting I unfortunately don't remember her name, but Rose's sister's death heroically, and her being a total hero, saving the day.
What great casting.
And that whole context that we got of, like, yeah, Poe's got this. I mean, we're losing fighters, but whatever. And then Leia's, but how many alive leaders? Mm-hmm. And that's like, oh, crap. Yeah. You're absolutely right. So you feel that even more, which helps you empathize with Rose that much more. Mm-hmm. And as, quote, useless as people made their jaunt to, or people consider their jaunt to be, we needed that character development for both of them. You can't do that trapped on a ship. That would have been a little bit more bold, I will say that. If there were no planets, it was just, hey, we're stuck in a spaceship, and it's a one-camera shoot. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed Canto Bight. Of course, there were a couple of things that reminded folks of the prequels.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But to me, not that
much. Wait, can we just address them while we're here? What parts? Okay, to bite.
Namely, how CGI it was.
Yeah.
So, like, the technical stuff.
But we're okay.
Yeah. So,
but
we're
and just, weirdly human face, dog-eared.
I love those.
I love them too.
A lot of people don't like them because they have, like, a weirdly human face. Like, the nose is sort of long and they have the big eyes and everything.
I don't know. I was getting Dark Crystal vibes. That's what I was getting.
Yeah. I was getting Avatar vibes.
Totally. Nice.
It looked like Na'vi. Yeah.
And I also think that, like, I rewatched all of the movies Saturday and Sunday, essentially, because TNT has a great marathon if you're not watching it already. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, something we've heard George Lucas gripe about from since, especially since Jar Jar Binks landed into the universe, but even before when he was like, we gotta add in, like, fart jokes with Jar Jar Binks and stuff, was that these movies are intended for kids. And part of my problem was when I was 11 and Jar Jar Binks, I freaking hated him. I'm like, well, this is stupid. I don't feel like this is intelligent stuff for kids. What we need isn't, like, I wanted my brain to be actively engaged as a fan, even at that age. I feel like what The Last Jedi did was bring all of those aspects in. Like, it's a legitimate family film without ever discrediting, like, the joy that children can have in watching it. I really like, I liked all the animal creatures. I like the fact that we got to see the wealthy and, like, a, more of a political aspect. Like, war is political, and we get to see how it affects people and how that plays on people. I liked all of those scenes. I mean, just,
and I liked Cantabite also because the fact that we always try to, at least from past movies, we always try to kind of hide that whole, like, there is still evil even under all this really pretty stuff that's going on. So I love that even though Cantabite wasn't, like, a long sequence or anything, because clearly we were dealing with the rebellion on the ship. But it was kind of nice, the fact that it's like, oh, look at this lavish casino, look at all these great people, look at all the races and stuff. And then we get that scene where she has him look through a telescope, like, to really see the darkness that's happening underneath that. So, and it was just really cool to add that in there. It didn't have to be majorly important, but it was enough to make a stance. And I loved that about that. So I don't understand why people were like, we didn't need that. We could have done something else. You know?
Yeah.
All right, you make the movie. You be interested by Kathleen Kennedy and a multi-billion-dollar corporation. Yeah. You do that. Go ahead, see what happens. Yeah. Oh, you didn't get picked to direct the third movie, did you? Get over it!
Yeah.
Anyway, Rose was one of our new characters, and even some of the characters that we didn't get a lot of in the first movie, we got more of, like Hux. We got a lot more Hux, and I think he's fulfilled his role even that much more of the little pissant second in command.
Oh, yeah, and he, like, evolved a little bit. Yeah. Like, my favorite moment with Hux is when he sees Kylo on the ground. He's
like, yes, to pull blaster,
we were just talking about that.
Yeah. No, never mind. That's so clean Nazi of him. It's like,
but it's also like, people laughed, but also think about that moment.
He is
a diehard. Oh well, I gotta make sure he's dead because I gotta be next in line for power.
Exactly.
Nope.
You know the power struggle is going to be a main focus between the two of them next film, and I'm really excited to see how they both handle it. Because he turns into a little wimp when Kylo is standing upright, so he's going to need some kind of power shift. I'm interested to see, like, which direction he goes. I'm guessing people's lives.
Probably.
Yeah.
Now, what did everybody think of Holdo?
I loved Holdo.
I'll let him go.
I loved Holdo because at first you're not supposed to like Holdo.
Nope.
Because you're supposed to identify with Poe and his cause. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to trust them. But that is so interesting to me, and this plays on the point that I was speaking about earlier, that a lot of parts of this movie were written to fanboys. As in, like, Poe is the embodiment of the fanboy. No, let me do it. No, let me take this action. Let me, like, you're not doing it right. This isn't how it's supposed to go.
So we blow that shit up. So we do that?
Yeah. That's what we blow up? No, it's not.
I'm so sorry, but turning off General Leia, I was like, what are you doing? But he's just like, click, I can't hear you anymore. I was like, no, Poe! That kind of stuff of just like, I don't have to listen to it.
Yeah, but at the moment, when you see that, you're like, ah, oh, don't turn off Leia, but also, like, yeah, keep blowing stuff up. Like, you're still rooting for Poe.
To get his
job done. But what's interesting is that by the end of the movie, or not by the end, by the end of Holdo's arc, you realize when Leia has that sit-down with Poe in the evacuee ship, you realize Poe was being a jackass the entire time. Mm-hmm. The whole time. And that is such a stark revelation because he's supposed, like, he's kind of supposed to be, like, the new Han Solo, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or, like, fill the void that Han left, not really be like him. And what's interesting is because there wasn't, and this plays on a larger point that I had about this movie, because all the characterization in The Force Awakens was so flat, they had to do stark changes in this movie to even get to where it was supposed to be at the beginning of the second movie of the series. And so I think what they did with Poe through Holdo was so important because it showed him the leader that he's supposed to be, and that will carry him into the third movie to be such a brilliant part of the Resistance.
I also enjoyed Holdo because she dresses like a woman, but there was still strength in her command. I also like that she and Leia get a moment as leaders to have a conversation, and I think it says a lot that their conversation about Poe was like, man, that kid's so scrappy. He's going to be great one day.
Yeah.
We genuinely love him, but woof, firecracker.
And I highly recommend, not from a personal recommendation because I haven't read it yet, but the new Leia book has her and Holdo first meeting in, like, future leaders of the world, or like UN club, something like that. Space UN club. So
space club. UN club.
Yeah, space UN club. So you get a sense more of their relationship, but yes. I think that one tiny scene of them together showed that there is so much more to that relationship.
Plus, has there been a more heroic act in Star Wars? And I mean that very legitimately.
I mean, yeah, the fact that scene even happened was enough to literally make, I mean, I don't know how it was for press, but I can imagine just how quiet the
air
theater
was
got.
Sucked
and
out of the room.
Yeah, just the fact that, at least from the two theaters that we went to, literally the gasp and then just quiet for like a split second.
Because the second time you see it, you're looking for it.
Yeah.
You're waiting, like when we saw it together, we're sitting in the back of the theater on the side, and we're literally like looking over the crowd like, okay, it's about to happen,
it's
about to happen.
Happen.
And it's like, dun-da-da-da. And everyone's like, oh my God. Oh, and you hear everyone just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
One person just like whispered like, fuck you. And I was like, yeah.
I got my second viewing right the moment, right before sound returned.
Yeah.
I got one solid, bruh.
And that's a great reaction.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
There's... We've got to blow through so much of this movie. But...
She's so quickly, DJ.
Oh, yeah. I love DJ.
DJ, my favorite new character ever. Really quick points about DJ. DJ, to me, is what this entire film is about, which is about fulfilling a promise made to us at the very start of this series, which is that, A, there was going to be balance, and B, we were going to have hope. DJ... is balanced to the universe. DJ is like, I don't know what all of you have been playing at forever, but you're fooling yourselves. Like, there's a much larger world out here happening of people just trying to get through the two of you, like, destroying each other. That, to me, opens us up to the kind of world that I've been wanting to see in Star Wars. Like, what is the little people, like, looking up? Like, there are giant ships in the sky, and I have nothing. I don't have a saber. I have a blaster. I have no bombs. Like, I'm just here. I love that he's willing to trade them. I love that he is also willing to help them. I love that he clearly has a heart, but it's like, look, at the end of the day, it's me or everyone else, and I choose me.
Yeah.
So apparently, DJ isn't his name. It's what he goes by. It's a call sign, which represents don't join. Which is a throwback to a promotional poster for an Elvis Costello album, of which Ryan Johnson is a big fan.
Ah, that makes sense.
Okay, right. The metal plate on his head... on his hat says DJ, and that's the only reason he is referred to as DJ. And the don't join aspect goes further into his character.
Right.
Oh boy.
The only way to win is to not join.
Yeah.
Great character.
Benicio del Toro has a very specific accent and a very specific way of speaking, and he threw all of that out the window.
Yes, he did.
And became this new iconic character, even though he was on screen for maybe 15, 20 minutes. And I can't wait to see more from him.
I need more from him.
I would highly doubt that we haven't seen the last of him.
Yeah. I don't know. We might.
At least maybe in these movies.
Yeah. I'm just hoping we can see him later on in something else.
Disney's got all of you under contract. Yeah. New animated series. A lot of the actors come in to do voices. Mm-hmm. I'd be okay continuing DJ's series there.
And speaking of books, Canto Bite reminded me of a scene from a Star Wars book.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Oh, this is something, reading it and going, oh, this is something we'll never see on screen. And we did. So I was very fulfilled with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who's another good one? We lost so much. We lost Admiral Ackbar in this movie.
So yeah, fast. That was so quick.
So fast.
Yeah.
Devastatingly fast. But I also understand because we had Leia's greatest moment in history. Oh my God, guys.
Okay, so let's bring up that scene because a lot of people had issues with it.
There's some contention with it.
There is some contention with that scene. And let me tell you. One, there has always been the fan theory, the fan idea that Leia has some sort of Jedi abilities or Jedi powers.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Skywalker, in this movie, mentions how the Force is not owned by the Jedi, and to think so is hubris and selfish.
Right.
And as we see at the very end of the movie, with the little kid grabbing the broom, it's little, and even Rey's, dude, my God, my wife didn't see that. She was like, so what did you think of the little kid? Oh, what, he was just sweeping up?
I was
like, no, he like pulled the thing. What?
People I talked to were like, wait, the kid had the Force? I'm like, his broom just flew to him.
I think it was just because it was so dark in that corner and it was so quick that people just weren't paying attention.
Dude, the theater on Monday was like,
that's exactly how we were all.
But so... All of that, and even Rey saying it's something that I've had all along, but now it's awake.
Mm.
And this is a woman who has had that for how many years of her life?
And God, her bloodline too. Just,
exactly, and that's another thing is they put such an emphasis on the Skywalker bloodline and how much potential it has, to where this, first of all, it is very unfortunate, but I think behooves the movie that a scene with Princess Leia possibly dying in the middle of it made it that much more impactful, because everybody, I deny that there is a single person who watched this movie and went, oh, is this how they're doing it? And so then when she comes up, though, then she's in the coma, even so, it's like, wait, is that it? Was that the last thing? We got to see, we finally got to see her exert maybe not the extent of her power, but
that's a huge extent. Like,
that was
she's
beautiful.
Like unconscious using her power. Like, she's blasted out of a ship, and the way it was shot too, like, just icy crystal hand. I'm like, don't do this to me. Like, I'm not prepared to see, you know, a passed away Carrie Fisher. Like, she's still so alive for me in so many ways. And the second that hand touched, I was like, what? And then she just gets to fly like the graceful angel she is back into the ship. I don't know if I've ever cried that hard in a movie. I think it was just such a way. It was such a great way to honor her, whether it came before. She shot all of everything before she passed. So
yeah,
it's just a really wonderful way. Like, because she's gone, it just makes that much more impactful, and I really valued that moment.
So Neil and I also really loved that scene. I know in the beginning it was very jarring for us because it was so abrupt. So I was kind of like, wait, what?
And very gratuitous of the close-up, her being right up to camera and then being sucked away into space.
So it was a lot to handle in that moment. And then obviously seeing her body floating, I was like, I don't know what we're doing here, but I don't like it.
It was another quiet moment in that theater.
Yeah, which was great, but at the same time, it was just kind of like, I don't know what's going on. We actually had somebody next to us. As soon as she started moving, they were like, what just happened? And so it was very... it was great, because I know that Neil and I were talking about it after, that we would have liked maybe if she decided that you can see everybody being blasted out, but she was able to stop herself. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, she can hold it, and you can see her power holding herself as everyone else is being blasted behind her, and then gracefully goes back in, kind of thing. I mean, either way, it doesn't matter. That scene was amazing. It was just that we wanted... For people to not hate that scene because it was so abrupt, this could have been an easier transition if she could just hold herself there. I thought makes any sense.
Yeah, I felt like, well, because she gets blasted out, and that whole sequence of shots and everything is so quick. You have Poe and the crew running into their ships, and then the hangar blowing up. And meanwhile, Kylo Ren's flying around blowing shit up, and it's all very quick. And then Leia gets sucked out, and then Kylo's like, oh, I have to go back to the ship now. And then people are like, we need to go and do something else. And then it's slow, and it just stops, and it's focused on Leia, which is cool. And I'm sure that's like how they wanted that scene, that moment to go. They wanted it to be a very important slow everything down moment. For me, it was a little jarring to go from all this quick stuff happening to just nothing. And then when she comes back in, then it was, again, a lot of quick stuff. It was them arriving at the door, and then the mask going on her face, then her getting wheeled back, and then, like, who was it, Finn picking up the tracker, and then back to, like, a normal pace. So it was kind of weird how the editing paced it. And, yeah, Alexis mentioned, we thought it would have been cool also if they displayed her power in a way that wouldn't get people who think they know science upset, because the person next to me the first time we saw it, my friend Ben, was like, wouldn't she just explode? Like, don't people explode in space?
Come on, guys.
And you don't explode in space, but we did find out that you bloat up and you suffer severe tissue damage. So this isn't just her surviving that, isn't just her holding her breath. It's her keeping her tissue together at the same time, presumably using the Force, because she's very powerful, and then pulling herself back in, which is plausible. But it's a little bit of a big pill to swallow. And like Alexa said, we thought it would have been cool if the blast happened and she was just like, and just like held onto a wall.
That's not.
And then maybe try and like save someone else, but then they slip through her grasp and then she can like pull herself towards the door.
The notion of how she saved herself in this is exactly the type of power that Leia has always had, which is reaching out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the visual of seeing her stop everything isn't in her nature,
right?
And so that's why I think it made sense, and I liked it. But unfortunately, we're still we got to keep moving forward. Goodness gracious,
let's go.
But speaking of that, what did everybody think of music? How that was featured in here? Getting to hear some of our themes again.
not only getting to hear, like, oh my gosh, when Yoda's theme plays, I was like, my heart is just so jingly and light and lovely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the lightsaber battle was just, I feel like that's the most nostalgic for the originals I've ever been.
Which one?
The one with Kylo and Rey.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just, it just felt amazing. Did anyone notice that it wasn't the London Philharmonic?
No.
This time? Yeah. Los Angeles took it.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Los Angeles Master Choir, and then I think the LA Symphony Orchestra, if I'm not mistaken.
They did it at Sony, I know that.
Yeah, which is crazy because you have the Disney Hall, but whatever. It's auditorily perfect. But yeah, no, so it, I just thought there was fresh blood in it. I liked it. I've been listening to the soundtrack for the past 3 days.
I'm a huge fan of scores. I've had this conversation with both my wife and Mark Donica.
Hey, what's up?
I'm listening now.
I love movie scores, and it's something that a lot of modern blockbuster movies aren't using a lot of. But Star Wars is something that's like it not only uses a lot of the old scores when they're appropriate, sometimes when they're not appropriate, but it also uses a lot of the new stuff. Like, I noticed when Rey was just watching Luke go about his day, it was her theme the whole time. Mm-hmm. It was like a different version of it at some points, but it was always her theme because it was her experience going through it, and the audience was supposed to feel that as well. When Luke is talking about what happened with Ben Solo in the training academy, he says Han was Han about it, but Leia, and then instantly just dips into Leia's theme. Mm-hmm. And that's not... The only reason that's there is for you to put an emotional context, an additional emotional context on the words that Luke is saying, because music is such a pull string on people's hearts and minds, and it allows us to remember things a lot easier, which is why scores and people who have themes are, that's why it's important to cinema. So when they just dip into her theme for like a measure and a half, like it's not even that long, it's so important because... It helps you like visualize Leia in your mind while he's just talking about it, and it helps you like understand how caring and loving she is, and how much she had to sacrifice giving up her son to Luke, and how much also he feels that he betrayed her in that moment. Mm. And so I thought that was so powerful.
Gosh, yeah.
Speaking of Rey's theme, my favorite, or one of my favorite score moments, because there are so many, is at the very end of the credits. Is we getting all of the great Star Wars stuff, mm-hmm. but the last couple of notes are the dun, 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 dun. And that's it. And I'm like, yes, more Rey. It's all about Rey. We're here. I'm in. And I flippin' love that. Fantastic.
I just read it. Yeah.
The music's amazing. The music's wonderful. I think these two can, or all of these can interact. So let's do a combination of favorite moments, Star Wars moments, and any other inconsistencies that you felt there were.
Okay.
I mean, we're running. I know we're running low on time, but I'm just putting it all together to see what sticks.
Sure.
My favorite moment is really hard to decide. Maybe just when Leia is waiting for the ships to come in and she's deciding, you know, do I close the door yet? Do I not? We've seen her in this position before, of course, mm-hmm. in Return of the Jedi. She makes a difficult choice to leave both guys out there and have to fend for themselves. And to see her do it here and not only get the victory, but that just gorgeous moment of her eyes. Like, to me, that's all the years and culmination of what Leia's been through. Like, mm-hmm. Leia has been through it. Like, mm-hmm. not just from losing her parents and being orphaned, but to watching her planet explode, even after making the terrible decision of having to betray the rebels, too. Now, in this moment, you know, she's lost the love of her life. She's lost her son. Nobody knows what's going on with Luke at this point. Like... Mm-hmm. It's a lot, and you feel that entire burden and weight. And for her to still be so, like, chipper and Leia about it, my God, it's magnificent. My favorite Star Wars moment was the training, because I wasn't sure we were going to get it. I honestly, truly thought Luke was going to go dark side on us. I'm glad that he didn't. But the moment where Rey is on the rock and he's like, reach out, and she's like, oh, got this.
Oh, you must be trying to
play. Did she play a prank on her? It's so like quintessential, like young, like teenage Luke. It was wonderful. Like, you're like, oh my God, he's still in there somewhere. But on top of that, that's the kind of mentor-master relationship we've seen duplicated throughout time, you know, between even like Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan have this constant like jokey bickery back and forth. And even though he won't get to be her, you know, won't get to teach her all the way through to like Jedi Knight or anything, it's that moment kind of really instills in her the essence of being a Jedi, which isn't just about, you know, balance or about doing good, but it's also about camaraderie and partnership. And so I like that a lot. Issues or inconsistencies.
We want to come back around.
Yeah.
Okay. Neil, what do you got?
One of my very favorite moments was everything that surrounded the dark side of the island. Mm-hmm. I loved that so much. It was creepy. It was enchanting almost, and also with Rey in looking into that like crystal wall, whatever it was so cool.
Yeah,
I loved that with like all the snapping. Snaps. Oh, God. And we were discussing it after the movie, like what the hell did that mean? And we're trying to break it down, and we sort of arrived at somewhere where like what happened before will happen again, and that's, you know, the whole repetition thing. And also when she has to see her parents but just sees herself, I think it shows her that if she follows the dark side, she isn't going to find her parents. She's only going to be herself. She's only going to be alone. Mm-hmm. And that's why she comes out of there and she's like, I've never known loneliness like this. I've never been so lonely in my life or something like that, because she I think she noticed that if she went to the dark side, that she would just be alone forever. And all that pain was way too much for her to handle. And I love that moment so much. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite Star Wars moments was the grand finale fight between between
Luke and the First Order.
Between Luke and the First Order. No, that was the fight between Rey, Kylo, and what do we call those? The Imperial Guards.
The
Red Guards,
Order Guards,
The Elite Guard or something.
Because they were so cool, and they were using actual fighting forms, and it was brilliant to watch.
Bringing the whip in, like, that's what you do.
Yeah,
that's what you do.
My heart was fluttering. But as a martial artist, I was like, that's how you do it!
The music, the stark red, and then the fire of burning the past down.
Yes.
Like, there's so much imagery and symbolism in almost in every shot. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree. But one of my favorite things is people say the lightsaber fight, this lightsaber fight, lightsaber fight. Technically, this is the first Star Wars movie where there is no lightsaber on lightsaber contact.
Yep.
That's true.
Which is a little bookend to that moment. My favorite part of that moment, which I think is important to state, is when the one guard with the staff blade pulls him apart and just goes to Rey, and she just has this battle cry, and I'm like, yes! Yeah, that is so cool!
She's like, ooh, she's starting to lose it, though. When she grabs Kylo's saber, I'm like, no, girl, no, that's bad, it's red, that's bad.
I was like, use what you can!
Yeah, that's what I was at.
That was a callback to Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But no, but when she tosses Kylo the sword, too, and he just like, perfect hole in the back of the head, and I was like, this is what I came for. This is Star Wars.
Mine is a little bit of everything, but I think, obviously, we talked about it already. Obviously, the moment when when she goes to Lightspeed. Mm-hmm. I think just the effect alone was enough to just, it will not haunt me, but it will definitely be burned into my brain forever as being the greatest thing in cinematic history I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Just that. But also speaking on that as well, I think the Kylo Ren and the Luke fight at the end, not because of the fact that it was obviously a big fight that we've been waiting for, it was the blocking for it. I know that for a minute there, we couldn't tell if there was an inconsistency with it, because obviously when the blasting was happening towards Luke, everything was red on the ground. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we see white, like right after. So Neil pointed out that he thought he saw stuff falling, and that's why it became white again, but at the same time, we weren't paying attention as hard. But I love that moment when, one, you notice that Luke is not making footsteps. He's not leaving marks in the ground. And I was like, wait a minute. What's and then that? Obviously that one moment when he, when Kylo comes through and slashes him and then that foot comes through. It was just enough to make my whole entire body go, oh my God. Yeah. So it was just, I guess for me, everything was so visually implemented into my head. Mm-hmm. Just little things like that. And I think my favorite Star Wars moment was when R2-D2 and Luke meet up again. And she shows Leia's original message. That threw me over the emotional roller coaster hill.
Cry number three of this film.
But I also, but I also like that Luke was just like, oh, low blow. Like, you know, like he was just like, really?
Holy Island, watch your language.
Which
furthers the theory that R2 is just a grizzled war
vet. He's just a sailor. It's just, it just comes out.
What are we doing here? This crazy crap island. Hey. Sacred island.
Hey, all right.
Yes to all. Hashtag yes to all. In terms of a favorite Star Wars moment, I would have to say Yoda.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
There's me being a little bit too greedy and wanting to see like the end of that scene be like another like spectral body show up and be like, I don't care who it was, but somebody's here.
Me too. But, I was like, Obi-Wan, where are you?
But Frank Oz, puppet Yoda, and still Wily. And and I think him coming after all of the quote silliness that's on the island is a reminder that there is that silliness. That's what a lot of people's favorite moments from Star Wars are, either lightsaber things or the comedy. Scrappy looking nerf herder.
Yeah.
Any of the comedic
little
stuff.
Little short for a stormtrooper.
Yeah. Like that sort of stuff sticks with us the most. So was there a lot of humor in this? Yeah, but it was a movie filled with loss and not everybody being able to win. That's what I think. My favorite moments are the ones that remind us that not all heroes win.
Mm-hmm.
And not all heroes have to win every single battle.
Yeah.
So the fact that Canto Bight was a fruitless errand, we don't know if DJ was the Master Codebreaker or not. There was something with the cube-haired woman that we might see in the next movie. But all of the various points of loss that ultimately lead to hope and coping with loss, which
and
is
developing
important.
A relationship. Like you get closer to people when you fail with them than you do when you succeed. Mm-hmm. Like the idea, like Rose and Finn getting to not just bond, but like essentially free a people, since this is Star Wars and people versus animals is very vague. I feel like how can you say that mission was fruitless? I don't understand when people are like, they didn't do anything. Like, they did a whole lot.
They did a lot.
It just didn't do anything for the direct mission they were supposed to be on. But hey, again, that's just war. On top of that, very quickly, the moment with Yoda, like, Disney, y'all are slick. You were like, oh, you don't like the idea that everything's not going to be canon? We're just going to blow it up in canon then. Like, we take away your head canon and we just deliver ours. What a beautiful, great moment to just bring everyone to the same page no matter what.
But that's the thing, is one of the main themes of this movie is moving on.
Mm.
Letting the past die, or killing it if you have to.
Neil had a good
one. Of my favorite, my favorite line of the whole movie, which I think was speaking directly to fans for what they thought they may have been anticipating with Luke in this movie, what they had hoped to see Luke do in this movie, was when he said, what did you expect to find here? Why do you think I found the most unfindable place in the galaxy? What did you think was going to happen? Go home.
Yeah.
First line of that was, what did you think I was going to swing around with my laser sword?
Yes. And I was like, take on the whole First Order by myself? And I was like, yes! Yeah. Oh my God,
he's
I love that
person.
Line so much, because this is
not
Luke's
movie.
Story. This is not Luke's movie. This is not Luke's trilogy. He had three movies, three brilliant movies where he excelled beyond what any Jedi thought they could do in the time frame that he was given. He is basically a Jedi god, and people want more from him to prove himself? I think no, fanboys. I think this is Rey's movie. I think this is Kylo Ren's movie. I think it belongs to Poe, and I think it belongs to Rose, and I think it belongs to Finn. It does not belong to who you think it belongs to.
And it sends off our heroes so gloriously.
Yeah.
It does.
Now let's talk about it. So the end of the movie, it's revealed that, oh, in and uproarious theaters around the country and the world that Luke was just projecting his image all the way across the galaxy. Mm-hmm.
To a physical
to
state.
To Crait. Yeah.
In a, that's very important. It was a physical state. He was able to kiss Leia. He gave her an item.
No. I do not think that it was physical. I think Leia knew exactly what was happening.
Well,
and that's why she didn't say anything.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's why she left. She leaves the token behind too, because we see it disappear in the dirt.
The token makes sound.
Do you guys know what
Kylo,
the token is?
When Kylo Ren picks it up,
yeah, mm-hmm.
it jingles. The mm-hmm. chains jingle. So I think it's a physical manifestation, but temporary.
Okay. Regardless. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
What an amazing show of power, because mm-hmm. we got to see him face off with Kylo Ren,
mm-hmm.
and people thought, oh, that was so cheap, why didn't he just show up? He says it himself, if you strike me down in anger, I'm going to be with you just like your father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he wins. Mm-hmm. He knew that it wasn't a battle that he could win physically by being there,
yeah.
and by doing that, the legend of Luke Skywalker grows even further. Mm-hmm. He could still be out there, according to the galaxy, and only a few people sure. know that mm-hmm. he's not. So that re-sparks the hope, the exact thing that Rey went to that island for,
mm-hmm.
and oh boy, is Kylo pissed.
Yeah.
On top of that, in a very personal way, we've only seen masters strike down their apprentices.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about all of the masters we've seen, they all have to turn against their apprentice. It's heartbreaking and awful. And he found a way to do it in a way that was not just... It was a teaching moment. Like, I'm still your freaking master. Like, I still educate you, even, like, from thousands of miles away. I think that's an incredible... And he does exactly what Yoda tells him to do, which is essentially break the cycle. Like, mm-hmm. it's over. You know what you know. There's no more studying. You don't need to destroy the Jedi either. Like, it's just move forward. And he was able to forgive himself for almost striking Kylo down. Like, just everything about that decision mm-hmm. was brave and amazing. And it's why he gets to get released in peace. Like, when those two sons come in.
That is my favorite moment of the movie, is the reveal of the two sons. And now you think back to, why do you think I picked this island? Because it's in the middle of nowhere. No, because it reminds me of home. I can see the twin sons.
Yeah,
that inspired me to go on this journey. And it's bookmarked from episode 4 mm-hmm. to this.
We end at the beginning.
Yeah.
Ah! It's circular. It's like poetry. It's
as
like they rhyme.
As soon as that song comes in.
Hi, George. yeah. The absolute amazing way to end the movie.
Yes.
And to end the story of our hero. But also, we're not going to see him in episode 6 as a Force ghost. They established that it's going to happen. Even if you aren't that familiar with the Star Wars movies and you started on Force Awakens, this movie showed you, people can come back from the dead as ghosts.
Yeah.
And they're putting that back into your mind space, because in the next episode, Rey's going to be like, because she has no idea. She doesn't know. So Luke's going to show up and she's going to, like table flip.
Yeah.
And
Force
like,
ghosts.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. So highly expecting that. We're running low on time, and I know there's so much more that we want to talk about. And we probably will at various times. You should follow us on social media. But where are we going? But before we talk about episode 9, I will say I do think that those dice are going to come into play in the Han Solo movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think so.
Where is Lando? Because what I've been... I wasn't 100% sure. I could not remember initially where the dice came from. And then on my rewatch, I'm like, oh, in the New Hope, there they are, mm-hmm. jingling mm-hmm. above. Mm-hmm. They bring them back in Anne Leibovitz's cover for episode 7 for Vanity Fair or Vogue. I can't remember which one. But so clearly the dice are going to have a significance.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that it brings our Lando back, because seeing old Lando kicking ass would
be
dope.
Well, we see our distress call being received, but nobody's responding.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine one of those being Lando. Like, I don't want to get involved in this crap again.
Yeah, definitely. But I think our final shot says a lot. Not our final shot. The Leia's final words basically being like, we have everything here
mm-hmm.
that matters. I do not think that, like, this movie, we came in like right where we left off, essentially. I think we're going to have some time and distance. I think we're going to allow the Rebel forces to gain some strength
mm-hmm.
For the disputes between Hux and Kylo to grow and get really kind of vicious.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm most looking forward to are ragtag teams, and I will just throw out my favorite ship idea, which is based solely on dialogue, which is when Rey comes back and she's talking to Poe And she's like, oh, hey, I'm Rey. He's like, I know. And I'm like, ship it. Right. I'm done.
I already came up with the ship name. It's going to be Ro.
Thank you, sir.
But also, that moment specifically redefines an iconic moment, an iconic line from the story, which is the I know.
Yeah.
And we got it in a new way where it was just like, I know. All right, you got it, and it's a completely different way. It's right at the end of the movie, so you're like, oh, yeah, I guess everything was pretty different in this movie. Like, just don't get it. Anyway, continue. what do you see for episode 9 and beyond? Or just episode 9, because we don't know what that
is. I don't see anything as far as, like, where the plot's going to go. I agree with Joelle. I think we're going to get a lot of Hux versus Kylo. But mostly I'm excited for what 9's going to bring, because this movie put J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy and everyone behind Episode 9 in a very unsafe position where they have to finish the risks that Rian Johnson started. He closed a couple of them off. He made some bold character choices, Poe being one of them. I'm really excited to see what Poe Dameron's going to be as presumably the leader of the Resistance in the next movie. But he's gonna, like, they have the work cut out for them. They're not gonna be able to play it safe like they did in The Force Awakens. They're gonna have to have things hit home, and they're gonna have to finish it off, and I'm really excited to see what that's gonna be.
I'm in the same boat, because I'm very intrigued to see what the next level is for our characters, because now, again, you can only go up from here. But I'm also intrigued what they're going to do with Rose in this next film, because the fact that now, the one thing is that I love about her character is that she's very tech savvy, but she's also very ambitious. So clearly she will throw herself into danger if need be. Clearly, we saw that. So I'm hoping that we're going to get more out of her and her character. Maybe we might meet up with DJ again at one point. Maybe, we don't know. And then she'll have some words, clearly, and things like that. But I also think that Captain Phasma, even though we saw her fall to her fiery death,
she's alive.
So I'm curious, because the fact that Finn broke her mask to see if, I couldn't tell, if, at least for me, symbolism was it, did it break her spirit enough to be like, huh, and like think about her decisions, you know?
No, because you're still scum.
I know, but like, scum. No, I know that. But I mean, I'm assuming that either means that she's going to become stronger and maybe even more ruthless than what she is, or something else.
I think she's going to become unhinged. For these two movies, she's been this prim proper. She's had her battalion with her in formation. I think she's going to have
bounty hunter.
She's going to have like pieces of her armor like scrapped together, and she's just going to be like, "I was bested by this rebel scum, deserter, traitor, all of those things." Mm-hmm. And Finn's going to be like, I don't have to fight you anymore.
Yeah.
And she's going to be the one's going to be like, no! Like, she's going to be gone.
So, like, our Javert
sure. No, make her total tragic.
I have one very quick prediction, which is that Luke's Force Ghost comes back to teach Rey how to make her saber, which will obviously be her staff, using the Kyber crystal from the blown up saber.
Maybe, Skywalker, but she does still have the texts.
Yeah, she does. It's on the Falcon.
We saw that. I was like, you devil, you.
Yeah, Yoda being like, oh, there's nothing that she already possesses. Because he put him on the
list. Everybody's like, oh, mentally. Oh, no, she's got the book.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for what episode 9 could bring. I'm a little more excited for Rian Johnson's trilogy. But I agree with you, Neil. They have to keep taking those chances.
They don't have a choice.
They can't back down now.
Yeah, like, there's no point of backpedaling.
It's been 10 years. The Resistance is back at full power. What?
There's another Death Star. Damn it, JJ.
I swear to goodness.
Let's bring it back. Jesus.
But that was a Death Galaxy. And
no.
It's powered by a black hole. It can light up three planets in one. What? So fancy.
Will it look like the Mickey ears?
It's a magnet. It's a magneton. Pokemon are here now.
Oh, God. All I ask is I want more of those crystal critters. They were so cool, and I'm sad we didn't get more of those.
Vulptex.
Yeah, I want more of them. I was sad. I mean, again, porgs are great. Also, I really loved that they actually barbecued one of them in this movie.
That was really cool.
But I know
Chewbacca's a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, no, seriously.
It's like, kill him.
I couldn't eat an Ewok. I'm eating these ones.
Yeah.
Man, I really enjoyed this movie, and I'm legitimately sorry that not everybody had an opportunity to enjoy it. But even with movies that you tend to not like, you're gonna rewatch them so you can find new reasons to complain, and I hope in that you can find growth and really mm-hmm. start to enjoy them. Because one of my favorite things about doing Jedi Alliance was being able to watch the prequels with Joseph Scrimshaw, who is a noted prequel defender, and mm-hmm. it helped me contextualize a lot more. And the button in this movie, it's just two lines about Darth Sidious' rise to power because the mm-hmm. Jedi were mm-hmm. too self-important to notice or maybe to care. We don't know. It puts that the entire prequel trilogy in a whole new light, mm-hmm. and I kind of want to go back and rewatch them with that and just go. And because, I mean, I already had that. It was like, of course, it was very selfish, and it was a huge mistake from the Jedi Order. But all of this stuff, people went, well, what about the lore, eh? Why didn't you take advantage of the lore? It's like you just
like that.
Just like that. Specifically, Canada, Michigan fans.
Yeah.
But this movie has unlocked new doors that mm-hmm. we couldn't mm-hmm. see before because we were going straight down that hallway.
Yeah, we had blinders on mm-hmm. the entire time.
It opens up the galaxy in a whole new light. Even if Rian Johnson's trilogy is about the drunk dude that put coins in BB-8.
I'm okay with it.
What character growth for BB-8? He's turning into a murder bot. I would love to see. Here's my prediction. Rian Johnson's trilogy is about Chopper and BB-8 just going on a galaxy-wide killing spree. Yeah.
Wow.
Deadpool's there somehow.
Disney owns everything, so it's all possible.
might as well. All right, we're very much out of time. Okay. But this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much to Popcorn Talk for giving us the platform to talk more about popcorn, about The Last Jedi. If you want to hear Joelle and I talk more about this movie, we record, and if you want to hear Michael's opinions, we recorded a reaction video right after we got out of the movie on Monday, which is available on his channel on Nerd Soul. So please go check that out. It's 40 minutes of unabashed. So make sure you check that out. But where can the folks find you on the social media? Let's start with you, Alexis.
You guys can find me and send all of your hate about this movie at atorres890 because I will fight you. But also, all of my shows are on holiday, which is not a big deal, but I still love to talk about them. I'm on a new show with Yale talking about The Librarians. I'm not here this week, but I'm definitely here for the rest of the holiday. And after, if you love anything about Doctor Who but love it in Librarian Indiana Jones way, watch the show. It's pretty awesome.
Hey, I'm Neil Plumley. You can find me here again tonight on Popcorn Talk, talking box office breakdown and the impact that The Last Jedi had on the film market. And that's at 9 p.m. Pacific time on Popcorn Talk. You can find me at The Neil Plumley, that's TheNeilPlumley, at me about Star Wars, because The Last Jedi is my new favorite.
My name's Joel Monique. Please do not text me, email me, or chat me about how you didn't like this movie, because it's going to destroy my soul. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique every week at Black Girl Nerds. And tomorrow, here, 5 p.m., with the wonderful, marvelous Carrie DeLane, as we break down Animation Weekly. And if you like Troll Hunters, it's back on Netflix, and that's what we're talking about.
Woo!
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
I know.
Hi, I'm Mark. That's all I got. No, find me on Twitter at MarpyDonica. This past Friday, I played the entirety of Battlefront 2 story mode.
Yeah, Jesus.
So if you want
to. And Resurrection?
Not Resurrection.
Ah.
I ran out of time. But it was a 5-hour stream. You can go check that out on Inventory Full PT. I enjoyed it for the most part. There were some parts that I liked better than others, but I still mm-hmm. just recommend everybody to read the Battlefront 2 book. if you want more video game stuff, I'm going to go back to Star Wars soon, so make sure to follow us on Twitch at Inventory Full PT. We also have a talk show every Monday on that same Twitch channel. Thank you so much to everybody at the Popcorn Talk for giving us this opportunity. Again, if you want to hear about the future of Jedi Alliance, go back and watch our last show. But for now, We'll see you, Space Cowboy.
Bye.
What?
Yeah.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.